Miggs Cast, and I am Steve Miggs, and I am here with the Reverend Infuego.
Hello,
man about town.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. The mover and the shaker. Tacoma's finest.
Oh, yeah, we're done moving now, so it's just shaking.
Now you're just shaking.
Yep.
Shaking hands, shaking dongs.
Whoa!
Just yours, right?
Oh, yeah. Three times.
It's kind of weird. It's because Glenn's not here. He's not able to rein us in.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's how that works out.
Usually he ends up saying something that rhymes with twist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen today. Let's hope not.
Yeah, right.
Glenn is actually doing something pretty exciting, something that I don't have the balls to do, and that's learn how to ride a motorcycle.
No, I'm okay with cars, trucks, anything with a frame around it.
Yep.
I've ridden an ATV, like a three-wheeler.
Yep.
I did that when I was young, and then I did a very slow roll on it.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, you know what? I don't need to worry about these things anymore.
And I think Glenn already knows how to ride one, but I think he has to take a class to get a license.
You have to have a specific motorcycle license in order to ride one.
So, yeah, Glenn's doing that today, and obviously you can only do it on certain days, so that's what he's doing. Yeah, I debated it. Oh, man, a few years ago, I was like, you know, it would be cool just to have one for the summer, you know?
Yeah, the summers here are perfect for it.
Yep.
But any other time, it's one of those things, if you can afford a luxury item, sure, something that you can keep in your garage and tarped for, 9 months out of the year?
That's how my buddy, he's like, yeah, eventually he was trying to sell it. That's when I started thinking about it. I mentioned it to my wife, and Sid's just like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
There's no way.
She's like, I'll put up with a lot of your weird endeavors, but she's like, you do not have the focus to do. And you know what? Honestly, once she said that, I started thinking about it. I'm like, you're right. There's no need.
You know what would be awesome, though, is if you did get one, then you could get a sidecar for Lulu.
Yes.
And that would be fantastic.
See, then I like to get one of those ones with the three wheels. Big ones, and the two in the front and the one in the back. You ever see that? They look like you're in Star Wars.
Yeah, those are really cool looking. It seems like, I don't know, it seems like cheating to me.
Oh, it's totally cheating. It's training wheels.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it was always one of those ones where I'm not going to judge anyone because, well, they're definitely braver than I would be to be even on those, especially the way that people drive around here.
People are morons.
Yeah, like really, really dumb.
I just saw the other day somebody nearly sideswipe a motorcyclist. I'm just like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, look, I know. Just look over your shoulder. Just, I mean, these poor individuals are on there. I mean, if you're driving like an idiot on a motorcycle and you're just zooming in and out, well, I don't hope you get hit. But if you got hit, I'm not going to be upset at the driver.
Yeah.
I'd just be like, oh, that sucks, because you know, you're not expecting somebody to be weaving like a maniac.
And it's rough because I know down in California, you're allowed as a motorcyclist, biker?
Yep.
That you can, because of the heat, you can just
go through traffic.
Yep. Yeah, go through the lanes or go on the shoulder and do
New York could do that too, I know, when I was growing up. Like, you could kind of go, you could squeeze in between two cars.
I just don't know if that is, if it's legal here.
I don't think it is.
But I wouldn't even trust people around here anyway.
No.
Like, I mean, just for some reason, someone who might get a little uppity about it and be like, oh, I'm just going to open up my door and be a total jerk. Because I've seen people who get mad and pretty much unreasonably at motorcycles just being on the road.
Yeah, or like try and like kind of almost take over the lane a little bit more.
Yeah.
So to kind of just box them out. I don't have that energy. I mean, I know people are pissed off and it sucks and traffic is the worst. This morning, dude, I'm coming in. I slept in a little bit because I had wrestling training last night. And I'm like, you know
back
what?
Back on the old, in the ring again?
Oh, I haven't stopped.
Oh, cool. Nice.
Yeah. I don't go, like, sometimes for a while leading up to Battle Mania, I was going 3-4 nights a week.
Yeah, I know how.
I'm going like one or two nights
there.
A week. And
oh, okay.
On Sundays, it's typically at a decent hour. So I'm still getting a full night's sleep. But
oh, nice.
I went last night because I couldn't go Sunday. La di da di. But I didn't get home till late. So I'm like, you know, I'll just sleep in. I get on the road around 4-ish. And there's already traffic because of construction. And I'm just like, I didn't get here until like it took me an hour and 20 minutes to get here.
Yeah, it was weird because I get the message that you're like, I'm going to be late. And I'm like, all right, cool. That's, you know, it happens. And it's good that you told me, because usually if you're not here by like 4:45.
Right, that's usually my cutoff.
Yeah, I'll start texting you and being like, hey, Steve, are you okay? I hope to God you're not still sleeping, because it's going to be awkward coming from Puyallup.
That's the thing. It's like, I mean, I woke up with plenty of time. I looked at my GPS. It said it's going to take you 45 minutes. I'm like, great. As soon as I got on the freeway, construction and everyone doesn't know how to do that. Yeah. I'm trying to get over on a left lane and nobody's letting me in. And it's just, I mean, because nobody's moving.
Yeah.
So it was just a giant cluster off F. And then next thing I know, it's like after 5 o'clock. And I'm like, this, I don't know how people do 9 to 5. I mean, I was like,
well, and I feel bad for anyone because, I mean, you're coming from Puyallup and I'm coming from
luxurious Puyallup. I'll explain to that later.
And I'm coming from Tacoma. But even if we have like a day off because BJ isn't coming in or whatever reason and I'm coming in, I still have to leave super early because if I leave after 4 or if I leave, oh, gosh, if I leave around 5, it's going to be an hour and a half drive. And I get so mad at those.
Especially, you should not be in traffic at 5 a.m.
No.
You should not be in traffic going home at 2 in the afternoon, but welcome to Seattle.
Yeah. Or the people who decide I'm going to live in the South End and work for Boeing up in Everett.
I have a couple buddies that do that.
Like,
they luckily work 410s.
Okay, but.
But I think it takes 10 hours to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not, and geez, I can't imagine it.
No, there's no chance.
No, I would be so mad all the time.
You know, I mentioned luxury, and you know, we'll start right off with
that. Yeah,
we got
it.
A lot of cool stuff. I have a lot of wrestling stuff, but it has nothing to do with like professional wrestling. It has to do with my ridiculous endeavors in the world of wrestling. Some cool stuff has happened that I haven't shared with anyone other than Shane Strickland on this week's episode of Migs versus the World of Wrestling, which should come out either tomorrow or Thursday. But
cool.
So actually, I'm sharing it first here, even though I've already shared it with him. It's kind of a weird inception thing going on. A lot of stuff going on with me in the world of wrestling. So do you know who Gabe Sapolsky is?
No, I do not.
Gabe Sapolsky is a man that was behind Ring of Honor Wrestling.
Okay.
He has gone on to do so many other promotions. He's just a genius in the world of wrestling. He's a promoter. He's a booker. He currently works with the Evolve Wrestling brand.
Okay.
And that's like basically the feeder system to NXT. And he also happens to work for the WWE as a creative consultant.
Oh, nice.
So he came to town for a big seminar. And it was like, hey, I'm going to do a seminar. Basically, and the guy's a genius. He's a big fan of the band Neurosis.
Okay.
So he saw they were playing in Seattle. He wanted to see them in Seattle. So he schedules a seminar. It's like $75 a pop for anyone that wants to go. I think 25 or so people go. He capped it at 25.
Yeah.
You pay 75. You look at the math. It's a little over $2,000. That covers his flight. That covers his hotel. That covers him eating really well. And still extra money in his pocket.
The only other person I know who does this pretty Craig exclusively, Gass. Craig Gass,
yep.
Following either the Seahawks or the Mariners.
It's brilliant.
It is really, really smart.
And at first I was like, "What? Why is Gabe here?" And then someone told me that he's an obsessive Neurosis fan. And I looked on the schedule. I'm like, Neurosis is playing the same day that he's here for this seminar. And then the first thing he says, he goes, hey guys, you know, blah, blah, blah. To be honest with you, I'm only here because of Neurosis. And I figured while I'm here, I might as well make some money. And so he wasn't like being a jerk about it, but he was like being very
straightforward.
I respected
man. Yeah.
that he was being honest about it. But like he ran us through. So I did it. So I hit him up and I'm like, hey man, I want to come, but because what it was a seminar and a tryout. So anyone who wants to try out for potentially what? NXT or Evolve can show up, and it's like a tryout evaluation. You get to plan and perform a 5-minute match in front of him. He'll take notes, and then he'll connect with you sometime in the future to talk about what he thought and if you're good enough to even be considered.
Mm-hmm.
So what he does is he puts us all through the... So I hit him up, and I'm like, hey, man, I'm not delusional. I'm not thinking that I'm going to be noticed by you or Evolve or NXT.
Goldberg right here. Come on.
But I was like, I'd really like to go to your seminar and just listen. And because I'm like, if he's a creative genius, I'm like, and dude, I've got pages of notes that could even be applied to what we do here at work.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Right. So I haven't had time to really filter through them all. But I was like, this has been so awesome. And I'm like, no point was I thinking I was even going to step in the ring in front of him. And he's like, well, it's all sold out. But if you just want to come for the seminar, I could squeeze one more person in. No problem. I'm like, yeah, of course you can. Like, I'm not going to waste your time.
Yeah.
And you get $75 out of me, I would hope.
Totally. Yeah, yeah. Totally get that one. Good business sense.
So we meet up, get there, and I'm just doing it. And then he's like, okay, let's do some warm-ups and let's do some drills. I'm going to have you guys do the drills that they do at NXT. And I'm like, so at first I was like, I'm just going to not do it. And then I'm realizing I'd be the only person sitting and watching. And I'm sorry if my voice is shot. It's just, I hope it doesn't sound as bad as I think it does.
No, you sound fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, you sound good.
So I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to do the warm-up stuff. I mean, if he says I can't, then he'll tell me not to. But I'm not going to be in a wrestling match. But I just want to be able to say that I rolled in a ring in front of Gabe Sapolsky. Like, yeah, that's kind of a cool thing as a wrestling nerd. So I go in, we do all of our stuff, and he's putting us through certain paces. Like, he's like having you like flip yourself out of the ring and then pull yourself back in with on the ropes.
Oh, like what they do in like the Royal Rumbles and stuff like that. Yeah. When you're about to go get out, yeah, and you're like, nope, I'm not. I'm still in. I can do it.
They call it skinning the cat.
Really?
Yes. So I'm looking and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to. And he even said, look, if there's anything that's out of anyone's skill range, I do not want you to get hurt. This, I know, yeah, some, right, of you are relatively like intermediate or beginner level, and you're here for the opportunity, but like, don't hurt yourself. Don't be stupid. You know, I'm going to be able to tell if you're not good.
Mm-hmm.
Why hurt yourself while doing it?
Totally.
So, but I'm like, I don't want to be the only guy that says, I'm not going to do it. So as the line's going and going, and everyone's stepping in the ring, everyone's trying, not everyone's succeeding. Most are actually failing.
Yeah, and I mean, you're putting forth the effort. That's a big part about it.
Yep, 100%. So finally, I'm like, screw it. A couple people ended up saying, this is out of my skill level. And so I'm like, oh, thank God, I'm not going to be the first. But once I got in there, I'm like, you know what? Screw it. So I go over, totally scratch up my lip on the ropes. Like, I'm like, ah, damn it. This is great. Flip over. And it's so cool because he already set the tone. Like, hey, everybody, I don't care what level you're at. Be supportive of each other. Like, this isn't a competition, yeah, against each other. So people are like, whenever anyone gets over, people are like, let's go, let's go, let's go. So everyone's cheering me on. I almost get it. And then I get in my own head, and also I think physically I could have done it, but mentally I just...
You were just suddenly thinking about it.
I checked out.
Yeah.
Especially after like smacking my face on the rope, and I was like hurt and stung, and I'm like, God dang it, screw it, I'm not doing this. So I gave up on that, but I still got... It was still cool.
Yeah.
So now we go through the seminar. It's like 90 minutes of him just talking about ideas. And one of the biggest things that he told us all, and I wrote it down, and I even put it up as an Instagram post because I was like, I was really blown away by this words of inspiration. And I got to see how what he said could be applied within the next hour, which was crazy. So
nice.
He gave like a tip of how to be a better performer, and I instantly was able to apply it. So he said, take every opportunity as a chance to learn, and just take it like, what was it? Everything is an opportunity, and everything is an opportunity to learn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, and we know that in radio. You know, so sometimes you got to just take an opportunity. You don't even bitch. Basically, don't bitch about money. Don't bitch about where you are in this. And I should, because he even said wrestling owes nobody anything.
No.
Like, so,
and that's a good point, too, because I mean, I've been here doing this for 12 years now.
Yeah.
And it was as an intern when they had the first phone screener.
Yep.
Jared, he decided that it wasn't for him.
Yep.
But even before that, I mean, I was terrified of talking on the phone. And I still don't. Like, there's a lot of times where I'll like ask Michelle to order pizza because mm-hmm. I don't want to.
Like my wife.
Yeah. I don't want to talk to people on the phone. And
I'll be driving, and she's like, can you order the sushi? I'm like, you're sitting passenger.
Yeah, but you don't want to do it. I will get anxiety if she asks me to change her Taco Bell order.
Okay.
Like, it took me a long time just to be able to get down and figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm on the phones all day, every day for the job, talking to people and all this. And I remember making a joke with, or even just telling him, it really wasn't a joke, with Jared. It's like, oh, man, I couldn't do your job. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just too hard. And then the opportunity came up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, this is my dream to be on the radio, and this is where I have to get my foot in.
Yep.
So why would I say no because I'm afraid?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the worst excuse ever.
It is. It's 100% the worst excuse because it's not a fear that's going to put you in any kind of harm's way.
No.
It's not like being afraid of jumping out of an airplane.
Even when BJ was his insane person, 12 years ago, it was never anything that would be like, yeah, causing me physical harm or anything like that.
Right. It's emotional, maybe.
Emotional scars heal.
I know.
I promise.
The other morning, we replayed the Peter Criss interview where BJ had his meltdown. It was kind of funny to see people who weren't on our show who are here now seeing how BJ used to be. And they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and even like Danny was like, oh, man. I'm like, yeah, that was 4 hours a day on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't play any songs. So it was 4 hours of that every day. And
yep.
Then when we got off the air, it was several hours after that. Like
meetings.
Yeah, this
dealing with a lot of stuff.
Like that was actually fun. Like, that was a funny moment. Like, that wasn't scary. Like, there were times where I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
But it was kind of weird to see even BJ's reaction. Like, you could tell, like, how much he's grown and evolved as a human being. Like, he was legit, like, ooh, yeah, I didn't handle that all that well. So, everything is an opportunity. Everything is an opportunity to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Finished the seminar, and I'm just like, that was, honestly, dude, pages of notes. I'm like, this is the best $75 I've ever spent, just as far as, like, how to be a better performer, how to be a better this, just how to be a better worker in life, wrestling, whatever it is, whatever you're passionate about. And then it's time for the tryouts.
Yeah.
So the way it worked out, there was X amount of people there. Three of the people that paid to be there are referees hoping to be noticed. Because he also opened it up for refs.
Yeah.
You don't think about that, but there are up-and-coming refs. I have some friends that are just kicking ass on the indie circuit that are starting to get noticed. And part of how they get noticed is get themselves in front of guys that have the ability to be like, hey, check this person out.
And it's funny you mentioned that because, gosh, maybe it was because Ron Funches has been training wrestling.
Yeah.
And maybe he did a meme or somebody else did, because I've followed a lot of wrestlers because of you and just in general. Sure. And it was that there was a meme that was just like where each of the wrestlers is a storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
The referee is a narrator who has to put those two stories together and Absolutely. Keep it cohesive.
Sometimes I even say, like, the referee is a director.
Good call. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah.
Like, hey, we got a minute left. Get this,
wrap it up.
Match. Yeah, go home, as they say. It's a give them the go home cue.
Nice.
It's like, all right, let's take it home. That means basically whatever you have planned for the end of the match, get to it. I don't care where you are right now. Stop trying to get all your moves in. It's time to end this match now. And also, like, a guy will be, the two guys are knocked down the corners. Like, one guy will be like, hey, tell him when I get up. The referee is it's so important to a match. But so anyways, the way it worked out, there were three refs, which all of a sudden left all the wrestlers at an odd number.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the point was, all right, you pair off with people, you plan a match, you perform, you get to pick who your partner is. If you can't pick someone, it'll be assigned to you. Well, one of my buddies who I've trained with from time, he's from Spokane, this kid by the name of Chase James. He's an up-and-coming wrestler. He's a good dude. We've trained together. So he comes over to me, he goes, hey, do you have a partner yet? I'm like, no. He's like, well, do you want to be mine? I'm like, yes, I do, but I came here under the impression that I'm not going to get to do that. And at first, everyone was just like, just do it. Gabe doesn't, he's here just to see Neurosis. He's not going to care. He's not going to care whatsoever. He's not going to call you out. Like, just go in there and do it.
But you don't know.
And I was like, at first I was like, yeah, screw it. Then we're taking a quick break so people could get lunch or get dressed, because he wanted people to put on their wrestling attire, which was a great thing. I was so glad I had mine in my car. So I was going out to my car to get it, and Gabe was walking out. I'm like, hey, Gabe, I'm Steve. I'm the one that paid just to come and watch. Like, oh, nice to meet you. Super nice guy. Hey, I noticed that we're at an odd number. One of the guys needs a partner. He asked if I could be that guy. Is it cool if I take that opportunity?
And
he's
nice.
He's like, yeah. Absolutely. I'm like, wow. It really just went from take everything as an opportunity to learn, take everything as an opportunity. I took this as an opportunity to learn by going to the class, and now all of a sudden, I have an opportunity to wrestle in front of a guy that sits gorilla.
That's cool.
He sits with Triple H during NXT. He's basically the right-hand man to Triple H while NXT is recording in the gorilla position. That's how big of a deal he is, right?
Dude.
Yeah, I mean, he helped discover Daniel Bryan. He helped discover CM Punk. Like, he's that guy. Again, no delusional thoughts of, like, I'm going to get signed. He needs a 43-year-old wrestler. This is exactly what he wants, a guy who's only been doing it for about a year, who's afraid to go upside down sometimes. This is what the NXT needs.
Sure.
Well, anyways, I do it. We actually put on a really fun match. Like, a lot of people said that was their favorite of all of them, because we weren't trying. Like, Chase is also relatively new. So some of these guys, like, he said right off the bat, he's like, don't try and impress me with all your crazy flips and this, that, and the other thing. Keep it basic. Just by your basics, I can tell if you're a good enough wrestler.
Totally, yeah.
But then, of course, nobody listens to that. Not nobody, but a lot of people didn't.
They want to show off what they can do. And they feel that, like you said, all those flips and everything is going to be the thing that impresses them, no matter what they say.
He sees the greatest of the greatest when it comes to flippers. And nobody's going to be on that level. So you're really actually making yourself, in my opinion, not look as good, because he's already seen all that.
Show that you know the fundamentals because they can teach everything else.
And he told you just to show you the fundamentals. So do what he asks.
Exactly. Because that's a big thing right there. Yep. It's like there's a lot of the times where someone who comes in any business and thinks they know more than the people doing it. And it's like, well, you might know a lot, but you don't know the way they want you to learn.
Exactly. And he gave us a great peek behind the curtain about exactly like what the WWE wants, what this, what that. And it was like, it was really just a great eye-opening experience. And I got to wrestle in front of Gabe Sapolsky. Mm-hmm. Sapolsky. I always say Sapolsky because I'm an idiot.
Kelly Kapowski.
That's why. It's a very unhealthy obsession with Kelly Kapowski. But that to me was like, and even my buddy Chase and I, we were just over the moon. We're like, I can't believe we just got to do that. And we had fun, and we told a fun story. The whole idea was like, you know, he's like this young, up-and-coming wrestler, and I'm just going to be like this guy that can't compete with him, but I'm old and angry. And so I just pulled a heel and raked his eyes.
And
at one point I go, I'm going to show, I was like, I know he's here to wrestle, but I'm here to teach him how to respect his elders, and just elbowed him in the back of the head. And the whole place, all the wrestlers lost their mind. And that was also the crazy part, was wrestling in front of guys I truly respect. Some really good wrestlers showed up from Texas to Vancouver, all across like the West Coast, Oakland, San Francisco, a few other places as well. So I'm in the ring with guys that I watch, not like any huge names, but names to me.
Yeah, exactly.
And when I did that and they all lost their freaking minds, it was like, oh, so now I'm just
heel,
like,
Steve.
Yeah, dude, totally. Just beating them up. And then at one point, like, these two guys in the front, they're the Voros twins. They kill it in Vancouver with ECCW. They're booing me, and they're like these really cool, like, they have a cool look. Like, they're like, I think they're German, and they have like weird, crazy hair. Some people think they look like, I look like their older brother. Like, they've got like the big lips. Very handsome men, of course, if people compare them.
Yep.
So anyways, they're going like, boo. And I go, shut up, you Olsen twins.
See, look at that crowd work on the heel side. Good job,
best
man.
Best part, because they're younger guys. They both look at me, we don't know what that means.
That's great.
Bro, we had fun the whole time. Neither one of us was caring about trying to impress Gabe. We just wanted to have fun and say that we wrestled in front of Gabe. And
yeah, man, it sounds like it,
so,
man.
That's why I said, like, everything's an opportunity and everything's an opportunity to learn. I witnessed it during that seminar. It was so freaking cool.
And now you know what it's like to be a heel, and how you feeling about it?
Well, it's funny you say that, Rev, because on Saturday, I got a text message from Chase, the guy that I did that with, and he was going to wrestle at CPW, which is Combat Pro Wrestling. Fun promotion that happens at Evolve Fitness, but they're now going to be taking it on the road. They're going to be in Marysville at the roller rink in Marysville on August 19th.
Oh, cool.
Very cool. So he hit me up. He's like, hey, man, if they could fit me into a match, because he was supposed to wrestle somewhere else, but it got canceled. So he was hitting up Avon that runs CPW, who's an awesome person. He's like, if I could get it on a match, would you want to have a match with me?
Yeah, you guys already got a rapport.
Right. And we were like, we want to do this again. This would be fun to do in front of people. And I'm like, yeah, sure, man.
Opportunity.
Again, right? So I hear back from him. He's like, Avon totally loves it. We got to be there by 6, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right. So I go down there. I mean, this is all in one day. I tweet out there because I'm like, gosh, this is crazy.
I know. I saw it and I was like, he's wrestling again? And
right.
It was like the tweet out had a bunch of different pictures. So I wasn't 100% sure because you didn't have a marquee picture.
Right, because I wasn't supposed to be on the bill.
Yeah, and I was like, is he doing it? I don't know what's going on.
It was like the most unceremonious debut singles match I could have ever imagined, which I loved about it. That's why I was excited. I'm like, this is going to be my very first singles match. I could get it out of the way.
It's a good way to do it. You get the butterflies out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's unexpected. I don't have time to stress about it. I've already had a match with this guy. So we could basically do the same match we did for Gabe or someone like that. We'll be fine. That's what we were saying. Like, we added stuff. We changed it up, obviously. So I get down there, run to Yvonne, and, you know, we talk a little peek behind the curtain. But I'm like, he's a good guy. He's a babyface, Chase is. And so they're like, she's like, are you okay with being a heel? I'm like, oh, yes.
Yeah, right?
I really enjoy being a heel. It's fun.
Usually how that works out.
Yeah, everyone, you know, even in like wrestling class, like we have one class that is mainly practice matches. The joke is I'm Hollywood Steve Miggs because I'm the bad guy. So we have the match. We start off. Everyone's like, you know, we're both like good guys. People cheered for us both. And then all of a sudden, I just start getting pissed and I just start beating on him. People start booing and I start like clapping at people that were clapping for him. Like, oh, yeah, clap for this guy. You know, like just being a douche.
A little salty there.
Right. Did the same old man line, went over really well again.
Nice. Yeah, use like, what works, man. Come on.
And no one saw it that first
time. Right, exactly.
So wasting a fun line for nothing then. Match ends with me giving him, so he super kicks me. I land into the ref. The ref, she gets knocked down. So he's checking up on her. And while he's checking up on her, I small package him. But when I went to small package him, somehow my arm hit him in the testicles and kind of knocked
somehow
the wind out of him. Yeah.
Somehow.
It was unintentional.
Unintentional.
He thinks it was intentional, but clearly he's wrong.
I have to agree with Chase there. Classic heel Steve there.
So pin him. People are booing. Then all of a sudden, it's awesome. So then he gets on the mic and he's like, I want to challenge you to a rematch August 19th in Marysville. It's a Sunday night. I think it's like at 6 o'clock or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to play the audio so hopefully you could hear it. Like it's just off of a cell phone. Somebody recorded it. If not, I'll explain what I said because it was pretty freaking awesome to be able to be a heel on the microphone. Because so often we're doing things on a microphone hoping to be liked by people.
Absolutely.
It's so much easier. Not easier. It's so less stressful that when you speak into a microphone, you don't care what people think about you.
You're not looking for, as you know, as the wrestling world, so you're not looking for that pop.
Yeah.
You're not looking for everyone to be, oh, yay, hooray. Whatever right. You say, it's like, whatever. If you don't like it, tough
suck
nuts.
Suck it. So anyways, I'm like, so basically, he's like, I want to, let's have this match again right now. And I'm like, I'm not going to have this match again right now. These guys in this crowd were lucky enough to have a local celebrity in the room with them. Because you know how, that's like the, I was like, what is the douchiest thing I could say? Mm-hmm. Refer to myself as a local celebrity, because I hate when people refer to me as a local celebrity.
God, I hate that.
It's the most cringe, douchey thing. I'm like, I can accept that being called a public figure because we're in the public's ear.
Yeah.
But I am no way a celebrity, in my opinion.
It's like when people say, why don't you just use, don't you know who I am? It's like, do you want me to be a heel? Because this is how you get heels.
Right. So I start off with that, and then he's like, well, we're having it in Marysville. And then I go, something to the extent of, like, oh, Marysville? I was like, do you understand that I live in luxurious Puyallup, Washington?
There it is.
And dude, it's so hard not to keep a straight face because, like, the announcer guy, I just hear him put his mic down so it won't get picked up. And he's like, oh, F word, this is awesome. So here's the audio. I don't know how well it'll be heard, but just to give you a taste of what happened between me and Chase James at CPW. Let's see if it's...
They know that you screwed me as much as I did to get back in this ring. My time is done. You guys have plenty of time to enjoy your local celebrity Steve Miggs. But if you want a match, we can do it another time.
Oh, I had come up with a stipulation for the match. A hair versus hair match.
That's cheating, Steve.
I have hair.
Where?
Like,
oh, wait. Never mind.
You and me, hair versus hair.
Driving to Marysville.
I'm not going to Marysville. So I think my heel persona is going to have to be local celebrity.
Yeah.
Steve Miggs.
That's funny.
Because it's so douchey.
And you're just talking about Hollywood. It's just like.
Like one of my buddies was like, my buddy Max was like, so what's the equivalent in radio to like being called Hollywood? Like Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Makes sense because it's douchey to say because you're an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know if there is one. And then when I started thinking about the promo I cut, I'm like, oh my God, I already said
it. You did it, yeah.
The douchiest thing that a radio person can say is that they're a local celebrity.
I really want a heel Steve t-shirt with just your face, and it just says, don't you know who I am?
Oh my God.
Dude, I would sport that everywhere.
Funny, on the front, it could say, local celebrity Steve Miggs, and on the back, it's my face, and it says, don't you know who I am?
Yes.
Oh my God, I should print those. That should
yes.
That should be what I wear on the 19th.
Please.
Oh, I got to make that happen.
You got a month.
Yeah. I just come up with the design. But then I was like, now I gotta need a new song to come out to, because I usually come out to Murder City Devils.
Yeah.
And like, that's just like my thing. I love that song. It's a good local band and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, if I'm local celebrity Steve Miggs, I need like a song that like that that makes that apparent that I think I'm famous.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like looking all over on the internet over the weekend trying to find the right song, and I think I found the one, and it's, I think it's gonna be good.
Wow.
Puddle of Mud.
Wow.
Famous. So ridiculous.
Wow.
Yes.
That is great, dude.
I found like NSYNC, their celebrity song.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like, ah. I don't know if I could even get pumped up coming out the NSYNC. So then I was like, please, Leo, the metal cover guy, please tell me you covered, he covered another NSYNC song. Everyone covers that It's Gotta Be Me song.
It's Gotta Be Me.
But I couldn't find, even if it wasn't Leo, I couldn't find a rock or a punk redo of NSYNC Celebrity. I was like, that would have been, have you heard that song? Do you know?
Yeah,
that?
I know it is. Right, yeah. I remember it, yeah, don't please go.
All right, yeah. So that was my weekend. I mean, obviously Defy was a blast. You know, talk about just an insane experience with the Defy fan base. We called Defiance, and dude, I don't even know how to. I'm gonna just play the audio as well. I got cell phone quality audio all up the yin yang today. So when I come out, they already, by this point, we've already done so many that they know what my intro music is. It's the Murder City Devils song called Press Gang.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the damn fan base at Defy are just so, man, I just love them so much. And they have so much love for me being the host,
mm-hmm,
that it blows my mind. Like, as I'm waiting to go out there, you'll hear it. I mean, they just start chanting Migs. And Colt Cabana is in the back. Other people are in the back. And they're all looking like, are they chanting your name? And I'm like, and it's like kind of like, I mean, I don't want to. I'm a local celebrity, guys. I mean, this is local celebrity Steve Miggs. I'm like, yeah. And they're just looking at it like, nobody ever does that for a ring announcer. And I'm like, I know. That's just what, like,
it's what they do, man.
This, I think they understand that I'm just as much of a fan as they are, and there's no pretension in how I do it. I'm not trying to be a ring announcer.
You're
I'm being one of them.
You really are.
I'm an extension of the fan, mm-hmm, but I get to be on. And I, like, even there was one moment where Randy Myers took on John Morrison. Mm-hmm. He went by Johnny Defiance.
Oh, okay.
Because he changes his name for every promotion. He's Johnny Impact at Impact Wrestling.
All right, right, yeah, on. That's
Johnny
cool.
Defiance. He's Johnny Mundo in Lucha Underground. He's going to be on Survivor, and he's going by Johnny Survivor.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
He's on the season Survivor.
Wow.
So, you know, their whole intro was insane. Like, just Randy Myers came out with Miss Kiss, who's a burlesque singer, dancer from Portland, I believe, or maybe from Vancouver. I'm sorry if I get it wrong, but she sang his intro, which is that Etta James song, At Last.
Oh, yeah.
And she crushed it. Her voice was magic. So I'm watching all this. And then finally, right before I even announce, and your typical announcer just stays professional. I just have to say, this is why I freaking love professional wrestling. And the whole place just erupts.
Yeah.
Like, John Morrison and Randy looked at me like, you're right, man. And we talked about it afterwards. Like, that was a cool, they even said, like, you don't get ring announcers that do that.
Yeah.
Like, that just break the fourth wall for a second. And it's just like, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
What's going on right now between the fans and the wrestlers and everything is freaking cool.
And it's building up the hype, too, especially when you do that.
Oh, they exploded for that.
Yeah.
So here's the audio of when I come out at the beginning of the show.
Maybe it would be a little hard to hear there. I had to turn it down.
Here I come into the ring. They're throwing streamers at me.
Streamer Club.
Represent.
Seattle, Washington!
have a bad mouth. I'm
sorry.
Yeah,
you do.
It's funny. Like, I always get insecure about doing the ring introductions, and I hope that they're good, you know, but I don't know. You know, I mean, I feel like whenever people tell me that it's good, I'm thinking that they're just blowing smoke up my butt. Like, even Jim, the guy who runs, he goes, dude, you're the best ring announcer. Like, when you're not there, we miss you. And I was just like,
That's cool to hear. You
yeah,
know?
Dude, it's nice to feel appreciated. So, somebody wrote an article reviewing Defy Loud, and it's on IrishWhipPodcast.com, IrishWhipPodcast.com. A guy by the name of Philip Jones, he did a whole write-up about his experience at Defy Loud.
Oh, cool.
And it's a great write-up. And, of course, like, I'm like, I wonder if I'll get mentioned. You know, cause yeah. we all have egos.
Oh, totally, I mean, man.
You know, local celebrity Steve Miggs wants to make sure that he's going to be mentioned in this article.
Don't you know who I am?
Right. But I figured there's no way I'll be glossed over, which is expected. I'm not the star of this, and I never act like I am. I'm a guy that just tells everybody to get really pumped and get loud because we're about to have some freaking awesome wrestling.
Yeah.
So you couldn't imagine, like, my face when I started reading his article and he starts talking about, he's like, I attended Defy Loud right from the start. The show lived up to its name. The audience is without a doubt loud. And then he continues to go, this could have easily been called seismic. The way the building rattled when the announcer, Steve Miggs, stepped into the ring and kicked off the event. It was at that very moment when the excitement of the crowd became an almost tangible force. With the expert, this is the part where I was like, wow, like I just said the F word a couple of times and said people get loud. Like, I mean, I said other stuff too, but it was really cool that this is how he summarized my intro. With the expertise of a seasoned orator,
ooh,
Miggs worked the audience into a frothing horde of eager fans.
Ooh, this guy got a thesaurus.
They're ready for the show, and then you can feel the energy moving through the auditorium like an electrical current. And I was like,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Electrical current. I got it on my arms. I got the tingles, man. Woo! That is so cool, dude.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was a good weekend, as you can understand.
I can tell.
Wrestling makes me happy, man. I know I've talked a lot about wrestling, but it's just the excitement and to get to be a part of it, to be a part of it as a ring announcer and a host on Friday night. And then on Saturday, unexpectedly being thrown into the ring. And yeah, granted, it's like, you know, Defy Hall has got like several hundred people. And at the CPW show, I was like, I don't know, I'd say about under 100, but, you know, it's a small room, so it felt cool, and I didn't care.
Yeah,
and
you're going out there, and like you said, you're doing what you love to do, something that is fun for you.
And people there that were super supportive and fun, and I'm looking forward to August 19th in Marysville at the roller rink. I don't know all the details, but I'd imagine that there's not a lot of roller rinks
in
Marysville.
And I'm sure you'll get more information as it gets a little bit closer.
So it's a Sunday night. I think it's going to start like around 6-ish. If you live in the North End and you wanted to see some fun wrestling and boo me, because I am local celebrity.
Bring
Steve
the booze.
Although I'm planning already in my head, like, for people that don't know I'm a heel, I want to have an opening promo to kind of establish that I am. Let them know that they're lucky to have the local celebrity.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you know the easy way to get some, what they call cheap heat.
Yeah.
Just, again, just talk up luxurious Puyallup.
Oh, dude, that's how he has to, residing in luxurious Puyallup. Even at one point, I go, and I live in a beautiful 1,800 square foot home.
Oh, man.
Like, I just want to, like, have this. I think my character is going to be this guy that brags about stuff that's not really anything worth bragging about.
Yeah.
Like,
I've got a garage that fits my car.
Like, you understand, I drove all the way here in my state-of-the-art 2009 Jeep Wrangler.
I don't even have power windows.
And most of you don't have teeth. Just do like the 80s era.
Mm-hmm.
But like I'm like the poor man's Ric Flair.
get a bald wig or a blonde wig.
Wearing my Apple Watch that a few members of my family chipped in to purchase for Christmas.
Because my family loves me.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Dude, it was a great time, man.
Oh, my God, that is so cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to just being local celebrity Steve Miggs. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
That all happened on Saturday?
Yeah.
Damn, what a Saturday, dude.
Oh, it was great, dude. And oh, my God, one of the matches had to be one of the great. So it's like hot as F in that gym. No air conditioning. It's like 90 degrees and we're all wrestling.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're really, I drank a lot of water and we only had like a 6-minute match. But by the time I went in the back room, I was gassed.
Yeah.
So one of the main matches was our buddy Steve West.
Mm-hmm.
He wrestled Jacob Sumis, Cubby.
My wife calls him No Butt Steve West.
No Butt Steve. I'm telling him that. Well, anyways, No Butt Steve West. had, I put the picture on my Twitter at I'm Steve Miggs, had easily the greatest, greatest idea ever. And it was like him being a heel. He's like, you know, before I want to have this match, my biggest fan is here and I want to make sure they have a good spot for the match.
I saw this picture.
And he proceeds to grab one of those big industrial fans, like those big ass fans, brings it into the ring, puts it in the corner, and turns it on.
That is so brilliant.
And wrestles the whole match with a fan on.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like two ways it's perfect. First off, you're bringing in a foreign object, which is always going to be used by the heel. And then B, you're going to be cooled off in a like in basically in unbearable conditions. I'm sorry. It's like doing something like that and exerting yourself with that heat.
Awful.
Yeah.
And it was the second to last match, which some consider called the cool off match. Because, you know, you want to cool people off before they have the big high again. Like, you know that usually the match before the main is like where people kind of just decompress.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they call it the cool off match, and he brings in a freaking fan to cool off. Everything about it was just sheer brilliance. That's I was just like, man. Oh my gosh, that was great.
That was so cool.
So I think that's all. I talked a lot about wrestling. Sorry.
You did. I want to talk about what happened with me on Saturday.
Yes, let's talk about you being a man about town.
Well, this was a really interesting day. First off, I had zero plans of going out.
Okay.
Because of the heat, because F this heat, like really bad.
Somebody posted a great picture of them pointing a gun at the sun and going, I've hit my final straw.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's pretty funny.
And for a lot of people, absolutely. Now, again, I'm in luxurious Tacoma.
Thank you.
And I have...
People in Marysville don't understand how nice we have it.
Totally. Mm-hmm. We've got, we have AC at the house. So I was kind of set on, we had some things to do and I was going to be like, well, we'll be done probably about one or two.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to do anything else after that. I want to sit in my nice, cool, climate controlled home and chill out. Well, it turns out that I got stuck on In-Law Island.
Ooh.
Yeah. My our own version of Survivor.
Right.
We had to go get some furniture because my in-laws live on Anderson Island down in the South Sound.
Okay.
It is basically you have to take a ferry from Steilacoom to get there, and it's a lot of people have summer homes there or retirement homes. So it's a pretty close-knit community.
You know, Valtrek should sponsor Steilacoom. Sorry. It's a nice retired community.
Yeah, it's a nice retired community. And that's where the in-laws live. They just recently, last year, bought a house there. And they're finding deals because people want to get rid of stuff. But it'll just kind of go around to everybody else in the area. And then eventually someone's like, well, I'm just going to take this to the dump.
Uh-huh.
And it turned out that a dining room table and some really, really nice chairs, like... These are like Bassett furniture, like $200 chairs.
Uh-huh.
We're going just to be thrown in the dump.
Because they didn't have anyone to take it.
Yeah, no one to take it. They didn't know what to do with it. They tried to sell it.
Just like, you know, just like hitting up some old people.
Yeah, like estate sales or any of those things. They're legit. You can get some really cool stuff. And so her dad, total thrifty in mind, like he's the guy who like bought a $5 chicken and he didn't want the chicken. And he ended up just giving it to my sister-in-law because he's like, oh, you want a chicken? Okay, cool. Like he'll do it just because it's a deal. Well, he's like, well, I'm not going to let this stand. I need to get these. So he's like, we'll come out and we'll get all of these things. I'll even rent a U-Haul, a little U-Haul trailer. And he let us borrow his, let us borrow his SUV to do all of this.
Nice.
We ended up getting the table, some chairs, a couch, and another love seat.
Dude.
Yeah, like this was we made out. So of course we're going to go
into this SUV.
That's why we had to get the trailer because we had to put the stuff in the back. The SUV basically fit the chairs, and then everything else went in the trailer.
Yeah.
So
that's incredible.
Yeah. We have a whole plan set out and I'm very much a stickler to the plan.
Yeah.
Like this plan, in order for like me not to lose my mind, like I've yelled at interns and made them cry because they changed one small thing. Gotten better.
No, I know you have.
But
this is just another example of how very similar you are to my wife. This is very weird. Like she does not like her plan being messed up. And she also doesn't like being on the phone.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we could be married, Steve,
it feels that way right now.
So we end up going there. We have the game plan. We get there early. We pick it up. Getting the trailer took a little bit longer than I would wanted. And it was just weird, like red tape. People like were trying to like, oh, there's a reflector that's not working. Do we care? And I'm like, I don't give a crap about these things. I don't care. Like we'll be fine. It'll work out. We get it. We get everything packed in. Her and her dad and I are really very much on the same page. Like, we set out our battle plan,
yep,
and we're ready to do this.
Get in, get out.
Yep. We're on the last ferry before they take their lunch and maintenance break. So this is at 12:30, and the next ferry won't leave until 2:50. Well, we are in first in line. We're like probably like four or five cars in front of us. We are dead set. We are going to get on this ferry. We start pulling up to get on the ferry, and the guy waves us off. The tide is too low. We can't get on the ferry because the freaking tide is too low for the trailer.
So just you guys.
Just us.
Because of the trailer?
Because of the trailer, and I'm mad. And the thing is it's probably a good thing that I wasn't driving the car, because it was her father's car, and I was like, well, you drive the car. It's yours. Insurance is under your name. The trailer's under your name.
And I don't want to risk messing it up.
Exactly. And so it was probably a good thing, because at that point, I would have been, I'd be like, no, then nobody else is getting on this stupid thing. Mm-hmm. I'll argue, and I'll sit here, and I'll argue, and I'll block the entire thing. And I was mad.
Yeah.
And I was just fuming.
I would have never guessed that that could be an issue with
Yeah. None of us did. Yeah. Like the in-laws live on the island. Mm-hmm. And they were like, this has never happened before. And so I was just pissed. And like, her dad kind of explained it and figured out it's just basically the ramp on the ferry would be too low because of how low the tide is.
Gotcha.
It would bottom out the trailer and probably ruin the ferry. And so I'm just like, right, exactly. And I'm like, I don't care.
I've got a couch.
But at this point, I can't get mad because it's the moon. Like, how can I get mad at the moon and the tides? Mm-hmm. There's no one I can blame. So I'm just sitting there fuming. I'm totally just absolutely pissed. Michelle takes this time to go to, there's a farm where they have alpacas and goats.
I'm going to go pet a goat.
Exactly. And
I need to decombust.
Yeah.
De-stress.
And I was like, fine, I'm going to take a nap. So they have a guest room. I took a nap and I ended up waking up and it was just fine. It turns out everything was, we had to wait until like 3:50 and through a whole bunch of stuff. I was afraid that.
Could you call in advance and be like, hey, is the tide better?
It was one of those things. They have tide charts.
Okay.
And you can look at that. And part of the problem was, is that there was no necessary like text warnings or anything. And I think that the Pierce County ferry system could have done something like that,
mm-hmm,
but they didn't. And I don't know. And I'm not going to work it too hard to try to change the system on this.
No, how often are you going to have to encounter this problem again?
Exactly.
Never.
Well, and now I'll know to check the tides before we go.
Right.
With a trailer. Like, that's ever going to happen again.
I was going to say.
So we ended up leaving and everything worked out and it was fine. But then Michelle and I had to move all this furniture into the house. And it's a wood old table. This thing is huge, ridiculously heavy, and both of us are just trying to do it. It took a lot more work than I wanted to. We had to reattach.
Well, it's because the tide was low.
Yes. Yeah. We had to reattach the legs, which wouldn't go in correctly. Oh, and I'm sitting there. I had a bruise. It's gone now. But I had a bruise on my hand because we don't have a mallet. Like, I needed a mallet to kind of wedge it in there and get it in there. Didn't have one, and I wasn't going to use an actual hammer on it. Yeah. So I'm sitting there punching a table leg to get it in. Yeah.
Could you, like, put, like, a book?
Probably.
And then hammer the book?
You're probably right. Thanks, Steve, helping me out a week later.
Or you could have swung by Luxurious Puyallup, Washington, where I have a mallet.
So, like, all of these things, moving this couch into a room where, like, our bar now has a couch and a chair, but it was a lot of working to get it through there, all of this, I was more than done. Like, I didn't want to go out before this, and now I definitely didn't want to go out. Like,
right.
The shirt was off, I was wearing shorts, like, there's no way I'm putting on any other normal clothes.
Just tell me you ripped your shirt off like Hulk Hogan.
No, I had to ruin a really nice shirt.
Okay, fine.
But my buddy, and then at that point, because we were going to go on, a friend of mine did a drunk history tour of Tacoma.
Awesome.
Where he was going around telling stories as they would go from bar to bar and drink. And we missed that because it was too late. We didn't finish and get all the stuff until 5 or 6 p.m. Like, I was just over it. And then they're like, well, we're going to go down to the valley in Tacoma, and there's gonna be like this weird like honky-tonk punk show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, I'm not going. He's like, come on, go. And I'm like, no. He's like, I wonder if my wife should text your wife. And I was like, you wouldn't.
You dick.
The wife comes in and is like, hey, did you get a text message? I'm like, I got a text message from you a while ago. She's like, no, from so-and-so's wife. I'm like, yeah. She's like, well, you want to go out? And I'm like, no. She's like, well, do you mind if I go out? And I'm like, I can't.
Fine.
I can't do that.
Right.
Like, I can't just bail on you like that.
I don't have a good enough reason.
There was no reason.
Right.
And even she was like, if there would have been any excuse, but we didn't have anything to do.
My wife would just be like, just go out. I don't care.
Yeah. And I can't do that, especially when I have no reason. I'm not just going to sit at home where my friends are asking us to go out.
Yeah.
I was going to say no until somebody else was like,
oh, Sid had no problem. She's like, I'm going to hang out with Lulu. Go say hi to everyone for me.
I could have hung out with Carl and Frank, but it turns out, nah. So we end up going out. Which was fantastic. They was like, I really wish I could remember any of the other bands but one. But the one that was really, it was super cool was that Misha from Witchburn and a whole bunch of other bands.
Yep.
She is a part of a band called Stoned Evergreen Travelers.
Yes. They're awesome. I saw them at Red Fest a few years ago.
And they were playing, and I had no idea. The opening band, I think it was the Washboard Boys. Something along those lines. They had a washboard. It was cool. They were playing in the back area because it was too hot to play on the stage for the opening band. They're just like, again, like they didn't have a giant fan to help them out.
Right. They needed Steve West.
Yeah. And
but Steve West.
Sorry, Steve. We go out there and I see Misha and JC and the other people in the band. And I'm like, oh, cool. I wonder what they're down here. So I go and I say, hey. And she's like, oh, yeah, we're playing next. I'm like,
awesome.
Oh, sweet. And like, I didn't even try to say, oh, I totally came to see you. I'm like,
I know you could have done that.
I could have, but I hate lying. Cooler.
I'm with you.
Yeah. And she was just stoked to see me there. And so we go and we watch, I watch them play and holy hell.
They're fun.
Like, yeah, they did an acoustic set because apparently the drummer from Kevin, the singer, he was just like, well, the drummer has a real job. So he's not here right now. So they played an acoustic set. But like I told Misha, like the way she plays the violin / fiddle, like when you're in a country band, it's a fiddle.
Yeah.
It was haunting.
Yeah.
Like, it was so good. Like it was just insanely fantastic. And the way she plays it and the way everyone plays like every instrument, it was just, I didn't know what to expect, but I was so glad to have gone out and seen it and just hanging out with her afterwards. And she's just like, oh, yeah, I kind of I'm a metal guitarist and I have been, you know, all my life. And now I'm just going to take what I've known from that and apply it to this. And I was just like, it blew me away. It was some of the coolest stuff I'd ever heard.
Song's called Tragic Love Song by Stoned Evergreen Travelers off of their new CD, Memoirs from the Dying.
Ooh.
Came out last year.
Okay.
That's Misha.
And I love this stuff.
Yeah, it's fun. There's a song called Burn the Pigs.
You put yourself on top, looking for equality as you judge. Looking for the same answers, an angle for the legacy. Yeah. We
That's
saw
cool.
them acoustic without the drums. I want to see. I want to see them full group. One of the things that endeared me to him, Kevin, the lead singer, was talking about how he's a big fan of comic books. Go figure. And they have a song called Angelville, which if you know anything about Preacher, is one of the places there. So it was just like, oh man, this dude is a geek. They're playing some really fun outlaw country.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was just,
like, I'm so glad I left my house.
Exactly. And like, it turned into a day that I could have, when we were talking about BJ, who loses his mind and kind of like just like 12 years ago,
right,
just was a big old poopy pants when it came down to it. I could have totally been that at so many different stages of the day.
Yep.
And it was just push through it. It's going to be okay.
Reset.
And it's just these small little things that maybe you don't need to let it bother you so much. Yep. Maybe it's just because there's a little bit of heat going on, and
yep,
don't ruin a day when you don't really need to.
Yeah.
And it worked out. I was really happy with it.
That's so cool to hear, man. Yeah. It's another, you took an opportunity.
Exactly.
You didn't learn anything. Well, you did learn, actually. You learned not to be a poopy pants.
Yeah, I did. And yeah. I picked up the new CD from them. Or not the old CD, because they actually have a CD release that is, maybe it was next week. I think it's next Tuesday at the Funhouse. And because
so
she told
me. Next Tuesday,
yeah,
huh?
Yes, Steve. Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
See them next Tuesday.
Right, but, see, it's yeah, Evergreen Travelers.
I'm pretty sure they're doing it at the Funhouse, because I think this weekend they're down in Portland for a CD release party.
They've got a show on July 26th. Oh, wait. There we go. Tuesday, July 24th, the Delta Bombers at the Funhouse, mm-hmm, and they're going to be playing with that band. So.
Yeah.
That's very cool. It's them, Hardfall Hearts, Jack Rainwater, and that's at the Funhouse on Tuesday. You're absolutely right.
Yep, so they're going to have a new CD out, and I'm very stoked. I'll be picking that one up as well. But, I mean, Misha said that she was going to bring it by because they're going to be doing something with Loud and Local on the station. But, I mean, I want to support them, so I'm going to buy it.
She's taking a lot of stuff there in Heppner, Oregon on July 20th.
Dang, yeah. That's Friday.
I'm going to be in Oregon on July 20th.
Oh, yeah, that's
Defy,
right.
Defy PDX. That's going to be a big at the Hawthorne Theater, Defy Wrestling, this Friday night.
Big tour in Steve Miggs there.
Well, you know, local celebrity Steve Miggs is going to see if his celebrity status can make its way to Portland. So if you live in the Portland area, come out to Defy Wrestling. Come say hi. Come hang out with us. I'm really excited about this. Maybe right? We'll go grab some steaks afterwards. I don't know. Just kidding. I'm actually going to get back in the car. I think my buddy Craig and I were going to be driving, basically going there and coming right back.
Oh, yeah. It's usually how that goes, the old road life there.
Yeah. Although if I have to drive myself, I'm going to find a hotel.
Yeah.
Like even Sid said, she's like, you are not driving home after working on a Friday with how you fall asleep.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Because, I mean, you're doing all that on Friday,
yeah,
which means you're getting up at, what, 2 in the morning?
Oh, probably 3. I'll sleep in again.
All
I'll
right,
see you
good.
At 5:15.
Still, that's a long day, dude.
Before we wrap things up, we'll make it a kind of a short one because I'm just exhausted, mm-hmm, and, you know, just...
I got everything I want to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. I got everything. But I did want to, you know, it's a bummer.
Uh-oh.
You know, did you hear about what happened to Grizz?
I did hear the unfortunate news that he passed.
Yeah.
Which
a
sucks.
Friend of our podcast. He was part of the Lion Pride music crew.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on our podcast a couple of times. I remember I interviewed him the first time I really talked to him was at the Snoop Dogg debacle that happened at the pot shop.
Yeah.
Where I got to chat with him and got to know him, and then he and Levi came in one time a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm,
hung out with us on the show. He's
super cool.
Oh, dude, kind of guy that, and I've learned rather quickly with his passing, how many of my friends knew him that I didn't even know knew him.
Like, wow.
Everybody, even including Matt from Defy Wrestling, was buddies with him. If you don't know Grizz, his real name is Zachary. He passed away on Thursday night. He had a heart attack, 32 years old.
Damn.
He was working at Jazz Bones, and apparently, from what I hear, Mickey, who works in sales here, actually, I met her through him when she used to work at Cube.
Oh,
when
wow.
She was working
okay.
at iHeartRadio, and I met them on the Beast Bus, and she and I became friends instantly right there. You know, none of that stupid radio war crap.
Yeah, right.
And then, oddly enough, she now works here, and she's truly one of the coolest people.
Absolutely.
And apparently, we're very close because she did a lot of stuff with them and was kind of like a second mom to him. And so I saw her on Friday, and you know, she told me about it. She's like, did you hear? I'm like, yes. And it was just heartbreaking, man. The guy was one of those guys that would just do anything for anyone. And I then found out that he just got hired to work here.
No.
He was going to do sales for Sir Mix-a-Lot show. And
wow.
Like, he was going to just focus on that because he had so many great connections. Everyone loves him. And he was still going to, he also works at a dispensary, and not a dispensary, at a grow op.
Okay.
In Georgetown. I was just talking with him about going to visit that just the other day. So a lot of like crazy stuff, man. It was just like, he went with us to Spokane. He was even there like the last couple of years. Just truly one of the good eggs in this world. And it just hurts, you know, like to know he's no longer here. I just feel terrible for his family. I know at the Showbox, he used to work there as well. They put up a nice billboard on wow. their thing instead of having bands just showing. And like a lot of people said, like if he would have known that so many people loved them this much, it would make him feel so happy because that's all he cared about was just the people in his life. And to know that people are just sad, and you know that sometimes when you're gone, that's when you get to really learn about how much people love the person.
Yeah.
So just, you know, I don't know really. There's nothing really to say other than, like, I even was talking with Mickey about it. Just, like, really appreciate life. I was just talking to one of our salespeople, too, today.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend just had two strokes.
Oh, man.
And we're just talking about it. I'm just like, you know, we sweat the small stuff so often.
Yeah.
And there's people going through something in their life that's far worse. And it's hard sometimes to keep your head above water. And then when you hear things like this, you just, like, I know it's hard sometimes to appreciate the little things and not get annoyed by the little things as well. But man, just try and be good to each other. Cause this is like, I look at a guy like Grizz, he was good to everybody and he's no longer here, but his legacy will live on. And so the only thing I could think of to do to pay tribute to him, I grabbed some clips from when he was on our show, just to kind of give you guys an idea of his personality. This was a couple of years ago. So there's probably a lot of people out there that might not have even heard the Mixcast back then. Maybe they just joined on when Glenn joined on. And I just wanted to play it because I mean, he was just this larger-than-life personality. And one of the ones I got is a story of him talking about the party bus, the Lion Pride party bus. So here's Grizz from a past Mixcast. Grizz, is the rumor true, Grizz? Are you coming along with us?
I think I'm DJing.
Oh, nice. Well, I'll be DJing in the middle of the night, but we'll DJ together.
We'll cuddle. Yeah. We'll cuddle on the bus.
We might need you also. I mean, Grizz is a big guy. We might need some security.
Or security as in help carrying people back on the bus.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I cannot confirm or deny that he did do that when we were
in
Spokane.
He
also worked at the ballroom, so he got to know the men's room guys really well that way. I know they gave him some love on the shot of the day. This one was a great story where he talked about being security at a Fish concert at the Gorge, I believe, and how everyone was warning him, make sure you wear gloves when you're handling anybody because you never know what's seeping through their body.
Oh, geez.
Like acid.
Mm-hmm.
So here's Grizz. You know, before we get into anything, I got to pick Grizz's brain because Grizz, I jokingly said you'll be doing security because you have been, if anyone listened to the podcast where we did with our quest to interview Snoop, we talked to Grizz because Grizz kept everything on lockdown. He made sure everything was in control. No weirdness happened and you handled it like a pro and you had a smile on your face the whole time. And then I find out, oh, you've done this before. You've been a security guard.
A couple times, yeah. I run into you guys all the time down over at the ballroom. A lot of the down in Fremont, a lot of the guys from the men's room.
So you've had to kick Miles out a couple times, I would imagine.
You know, I've had to get him in a couple times. We got a new door guy, and he had no idea who they were. Like, yeah, they're good.
When Levi was telling me he's got all these great party bus adventures, I was mentioning, oh, you got all these festivals coming up, and I, of course, mentioned Fish because I'm a Fish fan, and I'm debating on going myself, Ted Smith, and our buddy Shawnee. We went when they came to the Key, and we're debating going to the one at the Gorge. Although that seems a little bit more intimidating. And Grizz shared a great story of he was a security guard back when Fish played the Gorge. And you got to just share the story.
Yeah, it was a week after Sasquatch, and they sat us down right after the Sasquatch Festival and told us, you know, we got to make sure that you guys are wearing long sleeves to make sure that, you know, you don't make any physical contact with anybody because you don't want to get anybody's sweat on them or on you because they will transfer their high. If you hear a balloon pop, hold your breath. And it's 110 degrees out there, and they're telling us to wear long sleeve shirts and plastic gloves all the time. It wasn't comfortable.
And it's got to be kind of terrifying because you were saying how you came from a small town, and you're just like, oh, what am I walking into?
Yeah. A small town in Alaska, you deal with a lot of alcoholics and some coke every once in a while. But,
and it's acid crap.
Yeah, right? You're like, what is LSD? Like it looks like a concentrate, and you just put it in your juice, and it makes it better. The hardest thing is definitely telling girls to put their shirts back on. That's very uncomfortable.
Because, I mean, look, I'm a Fish fan. I've been in a lot of Fish concerts. Typically, it's not like going to like Paradiso or even Watershed. Most of the women going to a Fish show, you do not want to see topless.
This is true.
I'm not trying to be rude. Hey, look, you don't want to see me topless either, and I'm your typical Fish body type, man and woman.
Yes, hairy and flat.
Yes. What have been some crazy experiences you've had as a security doing, I mean, the Gorge, that's got to bring out all the wackos.
Oh, yeah, we had one guy try to sneak into VIP and then turned around, and this isn't saying anything on the security there, and we don't know how
they
got
to deal
in
with so much crap, yeah.
Yeah, we think he jumped over the fence, but he came in and had a bow knife and was running around with a bow knife, and one of our guys was like, I got him. And I was like, dude, you don't have to prove yourself. That knife is longer than your forearm. You should probably just let him run around and act like an idiot. Because he's, you know, just whacked out. You know, right. He wasn't going to do anything. He just wanted to make some noise. And so that was
what
pretty crazy.
What show was that at?
That was...
Watch this, like some like Sarah McLachlan or something.
That was a fun clip just to hear some of the stuff he was saying right there. And yeah, he even was at our big client party that we had just a couple months ago.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing him there.
Yeah, him and I spent a lot of time eating those crab. Like, they had, like, a crab thing. Like, they already cracked crab, and you could just dip it, and it was, like, on, like, a little skewer. So then right next to it, though, was also, like, a little, like, steak on a cracker. So we were doing our own Oscar sandwiches.
Surf and turf all the way.
So him and I just stacking crab. Oh, my God. It was so awesome.
Oh, man.
In this clip, we learned that Grizz was also a strip club DJ in his past. And, man, the guy had some crazy stories. We were even just joking about that the other month when we were talking about how, like, oh, we got to get you back on. He goes, yeah. And maybe this time I just won't tell you all these crazy strip club stories. I'm like, I actually will probably want you to tell me more of these crazy strip club stories. And here's one of them.
I did, yeah.
Which one?
I was a DJ, actually. Nice. I worked at all the deja vus in the Washington or in the area. But
new set of questions. All right, if you had fill in, okay, finish the sentence. I can never work at a strip club again because of blank.
The taste of Summer's Eve, you can't get it out of your mouth for a couple hours.
I forgot about that.
And was not the answer I expected.
It's if you ever want to get your ladies out there, if you ever want to get your man never to go to a strip club again, take him to the strip club and ask the manager to give him a behind-the-scenes tour. You will never walk into one again.
So the behind-the-scenes drama is probably just a nightmare, huh?
Drama. Walking into the booth, and I had a girl come up and go, oh, there's something on my back. Oh. And we can all imagine what that
was. Wow.
And it was like the biggest porno ever. And she goes, wait, I gotta go clean up. I gotta go get some baby wipes. And I was like, no, go home and take a shower.
Yeah. Go home and just sit in a tub of bleach.
Right? Shame shower sitting in the corner with this Brillo pad. Like,
now, was that like just like, you know, friendly fire? Like, was that her guy? You know what I mean? Like,
well, you see all the random tricks, right? It's crazy. Like, guys will flip it up into their waistband, so you're touching it like every third thrust.
Yeah.
And sometimes the girls don't catch it.
Do you get weirded out when you see a guy walk in with like athletic shorts or?
Oh yeah, this is for all the guys out there. If you want the same sensation, wear slacks. The girls will love you more.
Okay.
And it's just as thin.
Because you look like a business guy.
Exactly.
I forgot. That was the greatest
pro
words of
tip.
Advice. Yeah. Wear slacks at all
Stop
times.
Stop wearing sweats, you weirdos.
And we have one more clip. Just paying some tribute to our friend Grizz, who unfortunately passed away on Thursday night. This one's more strip club.
My shift was in charge of cleaning out underneath the seats.
That was my next question. I was like, did you have to help out with the cleanup?
Yeah, we had to pull the top cushions off of the VIP couches, and we found the craziest stuff under there. Definitely condoms, and we found money. Any money we'd put it on a table in the middle of the floor, and we'd all split it before we went. I mean, I think we ended up.
What about little flasks, alcohol?
Yeah, little airplane bottles and stuff like that, and keys and key fobs and wallets and.
How do you explain that, babe? I need you to come get me. I can't get into the car. Where are you? Oh, I'm at a place right by a strip club. I swear, we're not in the strip club.
The best one was Marty. And he has to have that name, right? It has to be Marty. And whether that's the name he gave us or that's his real name, he got dropped off in the parking lot by his senior citizen's home van.
Nice.
They would drop him off in the parking lot for 3 hours, like every Sunday. And he would come in and hang out. And then he'd leave, you know, just wobble his layout. This is old, like 80-year-old man.
That's badass.
It was incredible. I wanted to shake Marty's hand every time he came in.
Realize where he was.
I didn't shake his hand. I wanted to.
Yeah, well, pound fist, Marty. Yeah.
We high fived from across the room.
Yeah, elbows.
I forgot about that one.
He had some great stories,
that's
man.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and that's just personality, man. He could talk about anything and everything, and he's lived a crazy life, and it's going to be so sorely missed. I mean, truly. We will miss you, Grizz. I know I speak for many here at the radio station, all of us that are fortunate enough to have met you. We were all devastated when we heard the news, and I've been thinking about you nonstop. And much love goes to Levi Lyon. Those two were partners in crime, man. Like, they were always coming up with cool stuff and doing stuff together, and we were fortunate enough to get to know Grizz because of Levi. And I shot a text to Levi when I heard the news, and I was like, I'm sure he doesn't want to talk right now, but I was like, if you want to talk, I'm here, and you know, man, I love you. And he's having a hard time with it, of course. So,
yeah.
Just appreciate the people in your life.
And you've got, I mean, everyone out there is listening now. You've got your opportunity is your life.
Yeah.
So take that opportunity, man.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And let's all try and be as great of a person or even half as great of a person as Grizz. Because, like I said, if anyone knew him, met him, talked to him, he left a lasting impression. And I know I'm going to miss him severely. And when I heard the news that he was going to work here, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Right.
And just as a testament to him, he knows everybody here. From me and he spent weekend getaways with me and Ted. He clearly did a lot of stuff with the men's room guys. When he came in for the job, never once name dropped any of us.
Like, he didn't need to. He didn't have to.
Dave, our boss, Hair Club, he's like, I didn't even know he knew all of you guys until after that. He goes, that just shows what kind of guy he was. Like, he didn't need, he wanted to win me over on his own merits, not by I know all these guys and be the name dropping guy, which I think a lot of us would be guilty of. I mean,
absolutely. Yeah.
But that, and he didn't need to. You're right. Like, even talking to Dave, he's like, you know, I just met him and I'm devastated by this. Like, that's how much of an impact that he had on all of us. And it just sucks to know that he was going to be a part of this crew and part of the Entercom family and would have probably been a rock star.
Oh, he would have killed it.
I mean, not probably. He definitely would have been a rock star. I love you, man. I wish you were still here. And, there's no real happy way to end this other than, we really do appreciate everybody who listens to this podcast.
Yep.
And if you knew Grizz, I hope that you think of good thoughts, good memories, and just show love and care about the people that are close to you.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to get out of here because I don't know if my voice can continue. And I got to try and push it through for this weekend. And I got to learn how to properly use my voice, Rev.
You need some honey with some tea.
I got throat coat.
There you go. Chug it.
Yeah, butt chug it.
No, it's the wrong thing. You need it for your throat, not your butt.
Oh, that's why it's not working.
It's probably not why it's. Jesus, dude.
Well, anyways, we'll be back next week. I'm sure Glenn will be with us and get to hear all about his motorcycle.
Tales of the motorcycle.
I'm excited for him, man. I know this is something he's wanted to do for a while. Anything coming up for you in the next few days?
No. No. I'm trying not to leave my house again.
Well, hopefully you do, though, because good things happen when you do.
True.
I am going to be in Portland this Friday night. So if you got nothing going on and you're living in Portland or you're willing to make that trek,
Come on down to the Hawthorne Theater, DefyWrestling.com. Shane Strickland's taking on our champion, Austin Aries.
Nice.
Darby Allin's going to be there. Shaft's going to be there. Ray Horace taking on Ray Phoenix. It's going to be a great time. Until next week, stay positive, and thank you for listening.